Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
In Mississippi, with our ever-changing weather, termites and household pests can disrupt your family life and take a toll on your home. Call Family Termite and let us help protect your home. 601-933-1014 or reach us at www.family-termite.com.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Happy New Year, one and all. Wowie zowie. Is it really 2025? Or did we sleep through that and it's 2026 already? Wonder. Good morning, Lance.
I'm happy to be back, man. It's been a while.
We haven't seen you. I've missed you.
You were off.
We had a real good time, though. Caleb was terrific. Will was wonderful. And being off entirely didn't hurt either. So all of that.
Well, the listeners needed a fresh voice as a producer there for a minute. And Caleb was anxious to do it. So my trusty sidekick in high school football, a great guy.
We will draft him again.
Always hungry to learn. I was so happy he wanted to hop in and be a part of the show because it's such a wonderful treat to be able to do this. And, this time of year, if you have green somewhere, you've been working a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the camellias get to really shine. That's why they're known in poetry as the queens of winter. But those flowers are just magnificent. Hey, guess who's here? Peaches showed up. We got him awake today. We woke him up and dragged him in here, even though it's cold. You look terrific. Hey, Mark.
Thank you. Good morning.
You turned you on there, buddy. I wasn't ready for you yet.
Hey there. I'm sorry. I'm going too quickly. I'll try and slow down.
It was me not moving fast.
I like your new sweater. I like my new sweater. We're both showing off today.
I was told that I looked like winter, and I'm like, well, it is winter.
It is winter. Surprise. It is winter. When you join us on supertalk.tv today, you'll get to see Mark's wonderful crescent moon show. Shot, which frankly is not that easy. You have a better camera than I do. Mine usually I have to have at least half moon before I can even get it to really make a distinct photo. But you've got a really good one. It looks like somebody's flying across it. It's wonderful. I love that.
I take quite a few to get the perfect one. You've seen my camera.
Yeah, you're 4,733 photos.
it's pretty bad.
It's beautiful, beautiful photos today. And I'm going to go ahead and brag because the highlight for me is my New Year's Christmas cactus. I don't know what to call this thing. It did bloom right after Thanksgiving, started budding, and gave me a beautiful show at Christmas. But when those flowers dried and I plucked them off, I realized that there was another set of buds. So I went ahead, instead of letting the plant rest a little bit, and really it does need to be repotted. It's about to fall out of its container. But I just had to keep encouraging it, and it is prettier today than it's been all year, all last year. Ridiculous.
I didn't manage to get any flowers this year. Molly, the cat, she kind of...
Oh, well, that's different. That's another story. Yeah. Maybe that's it. See, my plants, because of the new kitten in the house, my plants are all over one room, literally jammed up with every artificial light source that stuck in there. So when that one started blooming, I brought it into my room so I could enjoy it. But mostly they've just been in there growing. And it is a testimony to the power of plants creating their own humidity.
Oh, yes.
I don't water very much, but when the plants in containers on a table or on your table, in fact, in my office, because now I have two tables full of plants, my table and your table, there were some brand new plants to me that I had to break up. There was crotons and fiddle leaf figs and things, and they have not missed a beat. They've all got new growth on them. I really think it's from being in that lush atmosphere, relatively speaking, you know.
Well, and this is the time of year when you decide who's going to hang around and who's not. And everybody has different opinions of that.
I have outdoors, absolutely. There are some things that I have to look at today and make a few decisions about. The bananas are still almost standing up. They're not going to be after next week.
And, fortunately, I get opinions from other people about what should make it.
Well, of course. Gardening is a community sport.
Okay.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. Now, speaking of weather and cold and hot and all these things, one of the best questions I've gotten in a long time came in yesterday, and it was, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And it's true, because if you're with us in zone eight, or if you are really anywhere, everybody listens to us, thank goodness, we're lucky about that, but if, no matter where you are in the South, and even further north, there may be some things you have to worry about if you haven't worried about them yet. But we have got a cold, cold, cold blast coming next week. The days in Zone 8 that it doesn't get above 40 degrees, it might as well be freezing.
Right.
And I know that's not true, but the nights are in the 20s, and it gets, you know, it's going to be very unpleasant for bananas and cannas, yeah, and elephant ears. And if they are established plants, they're going to freeze and die down, and you don't even have to think about them. They'll come back up in a few months. But our problem's going to be if they've got brand new growth on them because we've had such warm weather. And in some cases, we do. There's a cute little elephant ear leaf right here this morning.
I cut a small one. I could have cut yeah, one much larger than
and
that.
And so those are, in my opinion, I'm still not going to cut them all down at this point. I'll go ahead and let them freeze. But I will mulch more heavily underneath that, yeah, underneath, yeah, those leaves, just to kind of protect the bulbs a little bit in there.
And I don't have a shortage. We don't have a shortage of mulch at all.
Oh, no. There's plenty, no, of that.
Yeah. Pine straw.
It's dry enough to blow all the leaves that are actually stacked up everywhere at my house. So that's been going on.
Yeah, you know, wet leaves, which we have a lot because we've had a really wet
interesting run of wet weather. Excuse me.
Cold weather dries them out quite quickly, mm-hmm, and they're easier to clean up.
They are. You know. They are. And for people who always ask, here's another question people ask: should I What should I do with my oak leaves? And the answer is, because you've read something online that told you that they would change the pH of your bed if you put them in. Well, yeah, if you put in 6 or 8 inches and leave them there for 2 years, it's going to change a lot of things.
Right.
But an inch of oak leaves anywhere isn't going to make that much difference, because when the weather's cold, they're going to crisp up anyway and just decompose and turn themselves into mulch. But if the weather's wet and real frozen, sometimes they act as insulation and,
yes,
can help a little
do,
bit, you know. So I don't want you to have a foot deep somewhere. I don't even want 4 inches deep of oak leaves or anything else. But if you've got a little bit of that and you want to spread them around, go right ahead.
Yeah.
Got daffodils coming up already. That's fine. Give them a few oak leaves.
You know, we'll run the electric mower over them.
Oh, yeah.
And mulch,
mm-hmm,
them into the,
chop
the
them
grass.
A little bit. Yeah.
And unfortunately, we have so many that we can't use all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thankfully, our neighborhood, you can call and they'll come vacuum them up from the side of the road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was very pleased to come home for lunch the other day, and there was 3 truckloads of leaves gone.
Well, and for those of us who wish that you would take up commercial composting, it's a different story.
Right.
But the good news is that when a municipality collects them, that's mine has done for years too, they sometimes go to a pile that's going to then be available to the people who live there. But on the other hand, sometimes it's just used in their projects. Okay, well, fine. Just put it to work.
Yeah, so, use them somewhere.
Exactly.
I definitely don't need all of them.
Here on the Garden Mama Show, we are always trying very hard to keep up with what you are doing and what all is going on in the world. Today's word and today's situation is perihelion. That is correct. That's right. Now, if you went to school, you probably... That's really funny. That's a funny picture. I'm sorry. I got distracted there.
Don't you like that?
Perihelion is the point in an orbiting body's orbit when it is closest to the sun. Now, we're not facing the sun, the other side. That's why it's summer in the southern hemisphere, okay?
Exactly.
But this is the peak of all of it. It's the peak of us, our planet, as a whole, being close to the sun. We're not facing it. The exact changes, of course, the exact date of all of these things changes, but it's usually in the first part of the year here, somewhere between, I think, the 1st and the 6th, just depending on how the calendar works. But we are 3 million miles away from the sun at perihelion. That's our closest that we get. Here's another question. Here's another question for you to ponder today. Why is the surface of the sun cooler than the part of it that explodes? In other words, it's a different body than we used to think. We used to think of just this ball of fire, and aren't we lucky? But there's actually some, they've been able to do some temperature studies that tell us a few different things about it. It's our sun. We have to study that, don't we? I mean, come on. I want to know more about it. Tides are
interesting.
Higher. Tides are higher now.
Right.
And, of course, that goes directly to all the other stuff that we worry about. And when people are doing lunar gardening, it's a big piece of that, is where the tides are, where the moon is. And in this case, we've got a crescent moon, so it will only be a slight change in the tidal forecasts. That's what I know about that.
Wow. Okay. Good morning.
It gets a lot darker when it's that little bitty toenail or fingernail moon.
Man, that's true.
It was pretty. You could see everything in the sky. Mm-hmm. All the stars were just a twinkling out there.
What was that last night? Jupiter or is it Saturn? There's something
biggest,
that's
brightest
little,
one.
Something that's closer to us. I don't know. But anyway, point is, it's a nice time of year for stargazing.
Oh, it is.
And it's a lovely time of year, of course, for. Oh, look, there we are. So, y'all, Supertalk.tv is overwhelmed today with pictures. This is another piece that I wanted to bring to people's attention today. As we talk about the weather and what we're going to do about it, which is, of course, nothing. We're going to survive it. But I do have, and you have, because there was just a photo up there of yours, young parsley plants. Not young, but parsley plants and celery plants and that kind of stuff. I won't try to cover up my green onions. There's no point, but I will put them down up next to the house, okay, where they're not going to actually get blown over. But the others, I just take old containers and turn them upside down on top of those plants. I have plenty of, you know, nursery cans, and it really does work. How long and how much, people always want to know. I'm going to tell you, when the temperatures are dropping below 40 and I know that they're going to go into the 20s, I cover up that plant in the daytime. Catch as much of the sunlight or whatever as I can through that nice black or green container, and then hopefully be able to take it off. But if the temperatures don't come up very much, I'll just leave it on there, and then when they do come back up, everything's still alive underneath. And that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to keep them from experiencing cold weather. We're trying to keep them from ruining the leaves when it comes to herbs. So that's what I'm doing.
You know, I'm going to play Russian roulette.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We'll have a new report.
I'm going to let it go. Our yard is kind of a little microclimate, mm-hmm, and where that mm-hmm. bed is, you know, there's how many, you know, 100 gallons of warm water. Well, it's 50-degree pool water, by the way, Lance.
that's where you got the nickname, heated pool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 50 is not heated.
Yeah, that's heated enough.
No.
It's like a cool bath.
But they get enough sun exposure during the day, and it's kind of in a low spot.
And it will warm up there.
Yeah,
for
and
sure.
I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, and turn the heater on the pool, man.
Yeah, right. I don't know where you got that from.
It's a great idea, though.
It is a great idea.
I mean, you're high dollar. I mean, you know, look at this guy in that big-time shirt, you know, sweater, nice, and always bringing the goodies, and he has the accoutrement, like the glasses. And
he's going to be doing personal shopping pretty soon.
I would hire him. I mean, I would just like, look, you're my stylist, dog. Yep. Yeah, hook me up, please.
I'm expensive.
Truly.
Well, then I'm out. Yeah,
you're out.
I'm out. I can't afford it.
I'm looking at an image now, and I was going to wait until the end of this segment to say anything so that I don't get myself upset. Good news, bad news from our New Year's Eve. Real good news, Visit Mississippi won the past President's Trophy at the 165th Rose Bowl Parade. How impressive is that? We know several people that were there. You'll see their pictures. I'm so impressed with that. You know how hard it is to get your designs and everything even accepted, much less to put the project together and actually get it done? Come on now. Hats off to Visit Mississippi.
Yes.
And to Chapel Heart for being on the float, and also all of the beautiful pieces of our cultural puzzle that they were able to depict on that float. It's a really, really tour de force for Mississippi.
It is.
Past President's Trophy is awarded for the best use. Best use. There's 40 floats in this thing, y'all. This was the best use of floral and non-floral in conjunction, which means we had guitars and stuff, you know. You know.
And Elvis.
And Elvis. So, but that's part of the joy of that, is that you do all of this work, and then when it is recognized in such a major way, that's just amazing and wonderful. They're they do a real good job. And this particular float was spectacular. So go look at it. If you don't see it here, go and look at it. And there they are right now. They're so cute. See them? I'm pointing at the TV as if anybody cared. But here's the deal. I would be remiss if I did not say anything. I have not posted anything about the incident in New Orleans. I have not said anything about it out loud. I'm posting today some of the most beautiful fireworks that I've ever seen over that city. And because I'm there and have family there, I feel like I should say something. And I don't curse very much, but if I told you what I really think, it would involve a lot of cursing. There's never a place for this kind of violence. There's never a place for taking the lives of other people in this particular way. In other words, there's never a reason. I realize countries declare war. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but I'm saying that for individuals to take these kind of actions is never okay. For groups of people to take these vigilante type actions, I don't care what your point of view is, that doesn't solve anything. We lost two Mississippians with bright futures in this event, and that's not right. So my heart is with the people who are mourning the loss of their loved ones, but my heart is also with my family and the people who are trying to figure out what to do in New Orleans, what to do, how to fix it, how to make it safe again. I realize that the musicians all stood up and started marching when they opened Bourbon Street. That's good. That needs to be done. But at the same time, there are deeper issues. So I'll just leave it at that and tell you that all the thoughts and prayers and love and hope is very much welcome. And anybody who's ever had a good time, I don't go to the Bourbon Street myself, but anybody who's ever had a good meal or been to a nice party or gone to hear the Neville Brothers at Tipitina's or something, whatever you've done, New Orleans has a place in your heart. And just put that forward.
I can't tell you how many times I've walked that three blocks.
Sure.
One of my favorite things in the world to do is start on Canal and work your way down. I love the Royal Sonesta. Absolutely. It's
lovely
one of my
hotel.
Favorite places.
Lovely.
Try to stay there as often as possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's heartbreaking because, you know, just innocent people minding their own business, trying to enjoy life and
people
celebrate
up,
and ringing in.
Going out to celebrate.
And then you have something like that happen.
And his despair is obvious, too. I mean, I'm not without great empathy for his family having to go through this. But There's no call for this. There's no reason for this. And it does not solve anything. So that's what I have to say about that.
I say keep your chin up, New Orleans.
That's right.
Keep your chin up.
Absolutely. And now, she was inducted into the Kennedy Center Honors, and she's here with us, Miss Bonnie Raitt.
Nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. A lot of businesses are losing opportunities to get new customers if they're not online. With the power of SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. The highly trained and trusted team at SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Harvested in June and July, Mississippi-grown sweet corn arrives just in time for your cookout or outdoor get-together. But you better be quick. Once Mississippi-grown sweet corn appears on your local farmers market shelves, it disappears just as fast. There are so many ways to cook and eat Mississippi-grown sweet corn. But of course, our favorite is corn on the cob.
Sweet corn, just one of the many foods the Mississippi farmer grows for you.
Sometimes I struggle.
Baroni's Tree Pros. My friends at Baroni's Tree Pros put customer satisfaction as the only way to leave a job. Nothing less than the best service you'll find in the industry on tree removal, tree pruning, stump grinding, debris cleanup. You got questions? My friends at Baroni's Tree Pros will give you a plan, time frame, and budget that's perfect for you. Free estimate at 601-345-8090. 601-345-8090. Or it's online at baronistreepros.com. Supertalk.com.
Family Termite is a proud VIP sponsor of the Handyman Show on Super Talk Mississippi. Whether you're a proud DIYer or a seasoned veteran, Mississippi's handyman Buddy Slowick has the answers to your home improvement questions each Saturday from 10 till noon.
The best made-to-order lunch is right around the corner at 4th and Gold Sports Cafe. Eat in or carry out, DoorDash or Grubhub. Call 769-208-8283. That's 769-208-8283. Once again, 769-208-8283.
Cashback is not a... You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at trustcarehealth.com/plus.
Hello, friends and neighbors. This is the Garden Mama Show. Thank you very much for being here with us today. Lance is here. Mark Patrick's here. And it is, in fact, World Hypnotism Day. So I'm now going to speak in a great monotone.
Oh, no.
You're getting very, very sleepy.
You are very, very hungry.
You're going to quit smoking now.
I knew y'all were going to do that one. I was waiting. I was going to give it to you if you didn't take it.
It's like my Muriel Rubini accent, but
exactly.
It sounds good when
it's
you're
right
talking like, you know,
it's
like
right
psychology.
That is it exactly. And indeed, I'm not making fun, don't y'all. If you're into hypnotism, don't feel like I'm saying. I just think there's a lot of charlatans out there. I do know that hypnosis is a powerful tool, and it has been used in many very positive and productive situations, but it also carries a bit of a jokester with it. So.
And you know what the stop smoking hypnosis guy's name is, don't you?
No, I do not.
Mark Patrick.
Oh, no.
Yeah. People ask me, are you the hypnosis guy? And I'm like, no.
No, mm-mm. Probably should be, but no.
I'm the flower guy.
Probably the flower guy.
That goes, I mean, like in the 60s, though, they kind of went hand to hand. You know, you had flower power and all of the gurus and all those things. So
there was a certain unleashing of information about, you know, esoteric and occult things. So you can be both, you know.
You can do a flower guy and a hypnotist special.
I will tell you this, and it's absolutely the truth. I know that acupuncture works. I have friends who have had great pain relief from it, but I also have a friend who got acupuncture to stop smoking, and he said, yeah, it's going to work. I paid $35 for that, and it did work.
So, I hear those commercials.
One of those factors or the other one worked for him.
I'm trying to give a free publicity, but like you hear the one, Mark Patrick, hypnotism.
There he is.
I keep thinking it's you. Well, you're not the hypnotist guy, you said.
We have to get him a tuxedo.
Right. Look at those babies. That was New Year's Eve. They were like,
they look a little high.
I when I was going through the images this morning, I really was impressed with the LED menorah.
I know.
I was like, man, technology's great, isn't it? You don't have to worry about candles
and
anymore.
All I got was the picture. I don't, you know. Anyway, but we also have a little teasing going on here because all of the hoopla has now shifted over to Mardi Gras in the great world out there. I've seen New Year things and Christmas things and all this. Those are some of the prettiest Christmas cards I've ever seen in my life on a tremendous sale yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa, that's so gorgeous, you know.
Yeah.
And it's that time we're shifting. So now we're moving into a whole lot of purple, gold, and green. Getting ready for some
your favorite colors.
Some of my favorite colors. Very
it
definitely.
Is exactly 2 months from today. March 4th
is
Mardi Gras.
Well, today is Missouri Day.
It is.
Or is it Missouri? Which is right.
Well, if Memo was saying it, it's Missouri.
It's Missouri.
But it's Missouri.
He the only one who's from there.
Yeah.
Today is National Missouri Day.
Mm-hmm. I'll imagine that it usually is observed on the day that the state either joined the union or became a thing,
It was the day that they joined the union. And, Missouri has some famous people, too, like Daniel Boone, Laura Ingalls.
I loved her books. I will tell you that. I can't say that I read all of them, but I certainly read most of them. She was a great writer.
Walt Disney lived in Missouri. Yeah.
Wonder why we don't have more Disney there.
Because we have others.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. But Disney might go over big there, but it's not warm enough.
Oh, that's probably true. Yeah. Couldn't be there.
But that's a good point. It's not year-round. Mm-hmm. They're yeah. looking for that perfect setting mm-hmm. down there, a tropical environment. And yeah. that kind of leads me to my question. How long will my amazing palette and carpet of ryegrass that has been painstakingly grown over the last few weeks, put out another 50-pound bag the other day, been watering it, taking care of it, talking
He's
to
growing
it,
a carpet.
Combing, combing it. Playing music to it, keeping the dogs off of it.
That's the biggest part.
I've stanchioned that off. But you and I visited the other day, and so now it's it looks really good. And how long can I hope that I'm going to have that before it starts melting away and I need to reseed?
Oh, you'll have it till May.
May.
You'll have to mow it.
Oh, no, I want to mow it. Yeah, I mean, it's been so long that it's I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. So once May comes around,
When it gets hot, it'll yeah. start dying back. And
how long before that do I need to worry and start preparing?
There's no need to worry.
Okay, then I need to prepare, seed.
Mm-hmm. We're going to start that in March.
Okay.
This process, y'all, and a lot of people have this. You have a dog, you have a puppy, and he grows and he gets bigger and he tears everything up. Mm-hmm. And then it rains a whole bunch,
and
you
worse.
Got shade anyway, and yeah. so the whole yard turns into soup. Uh-huh. So that's what we're working on.
Way to describe it. You know exactly what I've been dealing with.
I've never been there, but I know what you're dealing with.
Can I tell a great gardening dog story real quick?
Well, sure.
One of the girls I work with, the one I told you has the amazing garden mm-hmm. down, near Piney Woods School, mm-hmm. has two Rottweilers.
Ooh, that's a lot of dog.
That like to play ball. They snuck into her rutabaga bed and were playing ball with her rutabagas.
Oh, no.
I want the video.
I do, too. I want to see that one. I love that.
I mean, what a waste of a good rutabaga. I love a rutabaga.
Let's see, I don't.
Well, I would have been.
But
like
I do love
Nelly.
A Rottweiler.
I'm like that. That's what I would have grown them for if they liked them. Like, man, you can have that.
You can eat that.
You can eat that all you want.
But y'all, now listen. Today is the day. This is soup day. I always have this time. There's halfway made. That is to say, it's not pureed yet. Butternut squash soup in my freezer, and then there's another one that's in there that I think is some kind of tomato basil thing that I made. But I'm going to make my vegetable soup, y'all, and the ingredient that is sometimes the hardest to find, but not today, one turnip. Now, why do you put a turnip in vegetable soup when you're also putting in potatoes and stuff? Because the turnip has such a wonderful effect on the tomatoes. When you put in a little bit of tomato and a little, you got to have a few different flavors in there, it really makes a good balance. I do not, however, put the turnip in my spaghetti. And since it is spaghetti day.
So it's soup and spaghetti.
It will be only, I'll make the soup but eat the spaghetti.
That's some bone-warming food there.
Got to.
I've had so much soup lately. I mean, it's been great, too, because
turning
it's,
into soups. Yeah, but that's good. The really good news is that you're getting probably more vegetables than you would in
Oh, yeah,
in
the vegetable.
Format.
Took the old ham from Christmas, and threw that in a crock pot and add some water and some stock, a bunch of veggies.
Go for
Why
it.
Why don't we, and I love radishes. It's something that we don't talk about a lot, but
I
absolutely love the crunchiness of radishes. Seems like Asian cuisine uses more radish than we see in.
Well, they do. They don't necessarily use as much, like sparkle or salad radish, but they use daikons and icicle radishes and things that are a little bit spicy.
Do you grow radishes this time of year? Seem like they'd be a cooler.
If you have a protection for them, if you have them right now and you can pick them, you probably should. The same way if you have camellias that are coloring in their buds and they're that way and the temperatures are going to be into the 20s, that's the time to clip those and put them into a bowl of water in your house and let them go ahead and come on. Radishes are really the same way. If they've been there 30 days, pull them, because they don't take but about that long to make. And if you leave them, they're going to get hard. And I don't mean that in a good way. Yeah. I mean they're supposed to be good and firm because they're radishes. But if they actually freeze, it turns them woody.
Yeah, you can make like a hut out of them.
You probably could. They're very unpleasant. And they'll still look okay on top, which is really deceptive.
They look good, but taste terrible.
Or put them in a potato gun and knock a squirrel off the fence.
Yeah, that squirrel that was bothering me for a while. Once I got that limb out of there and all that, he's moved on a little bit. And And then once his buddy got, you know, taken by the cat, so.
Yeah. Well, I really think you're wise to keep an eye on that ryegrass. If you are growing ryegrass, you know, we grow ryegrass for a lot of reasons. Perennial rye, we plant it in the fall and let it grow through the winter and into spring. New construction sites, trying to keep things from turning into a mud pit. If you have a slope that's notorious for washing away, it's a great place for ryegrass. If you're dealing with a dog that has perhaps torn up the yard a little bit, that's a really good place to go. But it's also just pretty. You know, it's a lovely grass.
You're dealing with a horse like that one,
right? I by no means would want to allude to people that this happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, last year I overdid the ryegrass, do you recall?
I do.
And I planted red clover.
That's right, I remember
all
that.
My clover is
that.
Back. And just as a surprise, so is my ryegrass.
No.
So
really, it made it back. Huh?
It's back.
It can, in a good microclimate, it can persist or make another appearance.
I like to think it's because of my gardening skills.
I think that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We would like to think that.
I'm at one with my ryegrass.
We would all like to think that.
It is the prettiest.
The good news is that when you mow it, it does, it gives you some green to put into the compost heap, which is a valuable quantity.
That was kind of where I was, my next question was leading to. Once it gets to that 6 to 12 inch length and you want to even it out after everything's kind of caught up and you know it's rooted well and you're not going to destroy it, you know, turn it over, is it better to use a type of mower that will bring in the debris into a bag so you can dispose of it, or is it okay for composting in your yard to create more base?
I think you want to gather it because you need that green somewhere else. Okay. Now, on the other hand, if it's looking a little thin, you can drop it back inside. But it will decompose possibly, but it's better used as another thing. When it gets to be about 5 inches tall,
then you
can
cut
half of it off.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't let it get 6 to 8 because it holds a lot of moisture it's going to gum up in your mower if you let it get too tall.
That's a very good point.
Well, and I've grown it in three different phases. I started with a 50-pound bag and really covered everything very well. And then I gave it a couple of weeks, and then I put another 50 down. As that was sprouting and it held it, it wouldn't wash it, you know. So then once I had a couple of little bare spots, you know, the size of a basketball or something, I went with another 50 pounds and just overseeded on top of everything. And it's really – and then the fertilizer – that you gave me, was it 13.9? That stuff, literally within 2 days, you could tell.
9.13.
9.13, 20, yeah. I have a picture of it.
He already had good green going, but he needed a little boost.
You could have braided mine last year. I overdid it. I mean, it was so...
You do that, it is a lush... It can be a bit of a problem for the lawn underneath. And when there's not one, it's hard to overdo.
Will it be a good base for what's coming next? Will it hold?
Yes,
you know,
because the other quality that ryegrass has is that it breaks up the soil that it is in. Mm-hmm. So when we come in March with a seed mix for your area, for your yard, it will actually, the soil will be in better condition to accept it.
I had to go in with a pick, axe, and pick up, you know, probably about, you know, I'd say 30 by 30 as far as the amount of square feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't one spot, but it was where the tracking had been the most from the dogs. And I had really raked and taken roots out and painstakingly got it where I thought it was good dirt. But yet, again, it just seemed to be packed. So I went in with that pickaxe and broke everything up real good before I threw that second bag out. And that seemed to help a lot, loosen it a bit.
It helps a whole lot. Okay. And then the other thing that people will do sometimes on this same sort of level, at this point in the year, if you're not growing vegetables in the winter garden, and by the way, why are you not? But if you're not growing cabbages and Brussels sprouts and carrots and all those kind of things, you probably have empty beds or empty containers that you're waiting for. Alfalfa is a brilliant seed to sow in there as a cover crop because it not only brings a whole bunch of nitrogen that you will need later, but it has the same effect. It breaks up the soil that the roots go in, which makes you have a better soil when you go to plant it.
And it's pretty.
And it is very pretty.
Yes.
Alfalfa is light green and very, very lovely to look at.
You ride by a pasture and it's, you know, this beautiful green color, and people are like, wow, I wish, you know, my yard looked like that. Well, they can do it. It's so easy.
Yeah, it is exactly, so easy. Exactly.
I had a football jersey when I was like 8 or 9. I played for the Dolphins. Same exact color as this ryegrass. The prettiest green you've ever seen. You know?
That's wonderful.
Oh, it's awesome.
We were laughing about those colors. You know, sometimes the colors can be a little bit off-putting, but a nice ryegrass green is always going to be a good thing. Let's see. Corinne says, is it time next week after next to prune? And she's looking at her roses. I'm not quite ready to do that, but you can do it in February. I'm afraid there will be another deep freeze in late January. I don't know that. I just am afraid of it. And so, therefore, if I go ahead and prune now, for example, I have roses in bud. They shouldn't be, but they are all in bud. I'm going to cut the ones that I can see a little bit of color in, but I'm going to wait to prune the others off until February. Really important. Isn't there a type of ryegrass that doesn't grow as tall? Yes, but I'm looking for green to put into my compost heap, so I would just as soon have it.
Yeah, I was wanting the tallest.
Oh, the abelia? Corinne says, no, it's abelia she's looking at. I can't. It's a twiggy thing. I'm sorry. No, I want to wait. The abelia and other twiggy shrubs like that, the bridal wreath spireas and all of that, those things that have that kind of form, are really best pruned in very, very early spring. Don't you think, Mark?
Oh, yeah,
like
absolutely.
Late February, early March.
You know,
somewhere in there.
Yeah, or anytime after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, after roses.
Yeah, after you do your roses.
Yeah. Cool. We're going to come back. We've got some more to talk about and a couple more texts that we're going to get in here. And, well, this is fun day. Happy
fun.
New Year.
Happy
we'll be right
New
back.
Year.
Strangest color blue. Flying is forgotten now. Things only of you.
Think of all the comforts your family enjoys around your home. When you include propane appliances throughout your home, you can have even greater comfort, from endless hot water to softer clothing and cozier heat on cold winter days. With an all-propane home, you'll also enjoy greater efficiency and energy savings compared to all-electric homes. Go to PERC.com and ask why propane. The answer will be clear. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit MSPropane.com.
Between the blue sky and green grass, there's a Mississippi cattleman making sure the food you need is on your local grocery store shelves. Whether it's a big juicy steak or hamburgers for your backyard cookout, our food starts right here. Because for these cattlemen, it's not just a job, it's caring for the animals that make up our nation's food supply. Just one of the many commodities a Mississippi farmer grows for you. The farm.
If you have
job.
That's beautiful.
We'll talk about him like he's not here.
That's like 2 weeks ago, too, so that's pretty sparse compared to what it looks like. The dogs are looking at it like, now, when do we get to run on that
now,
again?
Now it's growing on top of the stepping stones.
Right. I have a little brush.
Right over.
I have a
there.
Little brush for my fire kit, and I get down there, and I'll sweep off the seeds, you know, off of
looks
everything.
Looks nice. Looks real, real nice.
That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't there? SuperTalk.tv,
y'all, for how to grow, right? Or how ryegrass should look when you grow it in a spot that has been terrorized by your dogs.
Yeah, right.
It's him, too. It's not the other one. No, she's fine. She's more of a digger. He's more of a, I would say he probably should be in the Kentucky Derby.
He could be.
With
could
hoofs
be.
Like he has.
So. Want to appreciate the tune you just played for us and say good morning to Charlie Musselwhite, our favorite, our absolute favorite. I know too much. I've learned more harmonica history this week, so I'll try and control myself. But He's wonderful. So terrific. Y'all are so great. We got some texts rolling in today, and I always appreciate that. Greg's tulips are coming up. He sent a picture. They're little bitty, about 2 inches tall. That's where I'm going to dump on the mulch. I'm just going to take those leaves that he can cover with a hoop. You know, he's got a really good hoop system. So if that's the easiest thing, of course, that's what I'm going to do. But some mulch on top of them won't hurt. It won't kill them, this next piece of weather, but the chances are good that they'll get burned on their tips, and you don't need that. So
yeah.
Don't you think? I think they'll bulbs will be okay.
Oh, yeah. I think they'll be fine.
You just planted 2 zillion of them this week, right?
I'm doing that when I get off the air today. Yes.
See, and I'm going home to cut down elephant ears, but not all of them. Mostly they're just going to get mulched.
I'm also planting some amaryllis, and there's a beautiful pink one.
Yeah, pretty, pretty thing. That's pretty. The question, and that one is from Ken about what to do afterwards. My choice with amaryllis is the old greenhouse grower method. After those flowers finish and the leaves have come up and pretty much died back, I'm just going to turn that thing on its side and let it rest.
Yeah.
Then as soon as we get to warmer weather, I'll put it outside. When they haven't been planted yet, you can plant them in the winter just like you do tulips. But because this one's going to have green leaves on it, by the time he's ready to put it out in the garden, it'll be fine to be there. Yeah. So. I do love amaryllis.
There's a photo of the limb from the storms. Was it a week ago today?
I think it was a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was scary for about 2 minutes, and then it was gone.
I'm parking. My car gets, you know, since the limb fell on my car and the tree still hasn't fallen over yet, I have another place to park my car. And sure enough, there was a nice pile of limbs where I usually park it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I'm getting smart.
And this was this branch was the size of a tree.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
we have big trees here. We really do. Let's see. Ken also wanted to know about he has Christmas cactus rooted. What about growing them in clay pots? I'm all for that. The thing about Christmas cactus and Easter cactus and Thanksgiving cactus, and in my case, New Year's cactus, if we're going to name it that way, is that they really cannot tolerate wet feet. So, for instance, the reason I know mine needs to be repotted is because if I put in a teaspoon of water at the top, it comes out the bottom and sits in the saucer. Just right. The plant's not getting anything out of it. So I will have to deal with that. But yes, clay pots are really helpful in keeping that soil from getting too wet, especially if you put them outside in the summer. I'm always talking about Christmas cactus being a porch plant in the summer so that it's not actually out in all of the rain if we happen to have a wet summer. But it also doesn't need to be next to your irrigation system or where you're watering your tomatoes twice a day.
Right.
It just doesn't need that much.
Yeah. And I actually had one. You know, Christmas cactus can wilt.
They can.
And I had one. Mine.
Sometimes they'll wilt from too much water.
This one, I think, was abuse. My fault.
Simple neglect.
Yes, simple neglect.
We prefer that term, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. How cold can a bay leaf tree take? Well, it's hardier than my lemon tree.
Yes.
Okay. But I will tell you, because I grow mine in a big container, I throw something over it when it's going to be in the 20s. Because I don't, it will get a little bit of damage, and I don't want to have to suffer too much damage. The year that it froze, I thought it was dead. And since then, it actually branched at its base, and so I now have a bay leaf shrub. But it's in a big container. If yours is in the soil, it's probably hardier.
Yeah.
You know, a well-established one.
Yeah, and that's a loaded question, too, because it kind of depends on if it's in a container or mm-hmm. where it's planted.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest to people, when they ask me about planting a bay, is to put it somewhere protected, like near a structure. Mm-hmm. Or
in your kitchen garden.
Yeah.
You know, where it's close by, some place that you're going to...
Plant it in the middle of
It's not a specimen tree in Zone 8.
Right. It is more of a mm-hmm. ornamental.
Now, further south, if you're in Biloxi, it's a wonderful understory tree.
Yes.
And be absolutely beautiful. I love that tree.
Yeah. It's a beautiful... I just told Mike the other night, I said, we don't have a bay tree.
We'll have to get you one.
I know.
Absolutely. It's a perfect complement to everything else that we grow in the food garden. You know, it's one of those things that just gives us a constant supply, not only of bay leaves, but of just nice aroma and structure and a pretty design.
Yeah, element. And it's like a holly with no sharp edges.
No sharp edges. That's very much true.
Yes.
Let's see. Oh, Mary's new flower bed. Look at that. I love this. That's really pretty. She says, I cleaned the flower bed. Congratulations. I have one that I should be doing right now. But if you can imagine it covered with leaves, I haven't been able to get to it, planted the flowers and mulched with ground up leaves. That's really smart. And anytime you can, go ahead and take that step and do a little bit of like you run your lawnmower over
yes.
it. Or my favorite that you never heard me say is to put the leaves into a giant plastic trash can and use a string trimmer to chop them up. You didn't hear me say that, but it works really well. It makes great mulch.
Wow, that's almost as obscene as me drying my truck with a leaf blower.
I love that. See, we have to be multi-purposed.
That's really a great idea, though. You just stick the weed eater down in it. Yeah.
Put on your safety goggles.
Trimmer. Yeah.
Wear long sleeves. All those things. Here's the other piece of information for this time that is, honestly, I can't imagine how many people forget this. Take the foil off of your holiday plant. It was a lovely gift. The foil is adorable. It doesn't need to be there. And in fact, when you take it off, be careful, because if you've been watering that plant, it's probably full of water under there. And that might be part of the problem with the plant. If your poinsettia is not quite standing up like it was, you know, anything like that, those foil things are not saucers, but they will get wet,
and it eventually is going to smell bad.
Oh yeah, it will smell terrible.
Doesn't matter how many Christmas candles you have.
Oh goodness, no, it really doesn't. It absolutely will do this. If you need to mow that ryegrass, please do. Make sure that you add those trimmings to the compost pile. And by all means, fertilize it a little bit if you haven't done that. That helps with the color and also helps with the thickness of it. But you don't need to use organic nitrogen. Use a little nitrogen, a little bit more phosphorus and potassium.
The green took it was like on steroids after I put down the lawn food you gave me. It was very, very good stuff.
So. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about seed starting and some things. I actually bought a new seed for myself, and I don't know anybody that's grown it, so I'm going to go crazy with that. And, we got a lot of things to talk about, because we don't quit gardening just because it's January. This is the Garden Mama Show. Mark's here. Lance is here. You're here. We'll be right back.
Nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Do you have an old, outdated website or just a Facebook page and still not bringing in customers? Targeted digital advertising from SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Do you ever feel like you're in the dark? Well, with a propane generator, you'll never be in the dark again, at least when the lights go out. Enjoy the comfort and safety of knowing you have a propane generator always ready when the electricity goes out. Propane generators assure you'll always have power. Propane-fueled, clean cooking, hot water on demand, warm and consistent heat, and power when you need it most. Why would you choose anything else? Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com today.
Hello,
from the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
We already have a mystery, and it's just barely after 9 a.m. Andrea has a plant that finally bloomed, and I'm trying to figure out what it is. I think she's right. I think it's one of the Sansevierias, but I've got to crawl up in here in this computer and get closer to it. I'm not without the ability to see, but sometimes it really does help to have a closer look at things. But that looks great. It's a lovely scene. It's one of those things where you just feel like everybody needs to have a little green spot inside their house at this time of year. And I hope that you do. You may not want to have, at my place, because of the situation that I'm in with kittens and cats and people and one thing and another, all the plants are jammed up together, and I wish that I could spread them as I usually do to around. They're going to get that way pretty soon. But even my suspended sculpture from Bill and the folks at the bromeliad, you know, that are in the little hoops, even they're looking great. Everybody's looking super, but I think part of it's because they're so crowded up. So I'll try and figure out what that is. Let's see. I planted a jelly palm seedling in 1998, 30 feet to the east of the house. Wow, look at that.
Isn't that thing impressive? I'm trying to get it loaded up.
Look at that. The stump is a loquat. Froze back the trunks. My goodness. A lot of loquats froze a couple of years ago. Since the loquat died, I've been mowing down the nut grass around the palm base. It turns out that the nut grass is about 30 or so palm seedlings. Oh, my goodness. Jean in Louisville, do you have any idea how many people want those? That's hard to do. I know somebody that got a PhD in palms because they're so hard to germinate. He was one of the people working on that project about 30 years ago because we all want more palms.
Everybody,
you know, and most people, if you're getting a palm now, the chances are really good that it was produced in the lab to begin with. That it started with tissue culture. You know,
wow,
isn't that beautiful?
Wow, yes.
Sorry about the loquat.
I've never seen anything like that. Honestly,
but the palm is the thing.
It almost looks like a drawing.
Yeah, it does. It looks like a piece of art. It's just beautiful.
That's the kind of palms you see in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Because they trim them, that particular palms. Process. Yeah. But jelly palms are cool anyway. They're a beautiful plant, and I love seeing that. I was just writing in my newsletter recently about sable palmettos and also about the hardiest of the palms, in my opinion, the needle palm, and how they don't look the same. People say, oh, isn't that the same plant? No, they really don't. One has much thinner and more handed leaves, and the others are just a big old flat mitten, you know, on the palmettos. But they are the plants that we love because of that, as we're talking about color in the winter, you know.
The one that I have, that thing is 25 feet, been through everything. It's in between two houses. Mm-hmm, it's protected it pretty well. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that is the coolest thing. The cats love it. You know, they can hop on the top of the fence and then get on the pergola and jump up in it.
Off they go.
When it's good and full, they sit up there and think they're, you know, king of the castle, man. But I love it because it's always got that pretty green to it.
And those are the pieces. They're not hardscape because they're not concrete or brick or wood or something that is absolutely permanent, which is how we describe hardscape in the landscape, but they become that. The evergreens that we have do become part of the consistent scene in the design, and that's really a whole lot about design unity. Part of what we use color for is to make the garden welcoming, but it's also so that there's something there to look at over time.
Yeah.
Well, how long would a palmetto like that, the taller ones, it's been growing since the house was built, probably 25, 30 years ago. How long would you think?
Protected space. There's no limit.
No limit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that thing, too. Mm-hmm. I had one in a pot now, same type. I don't know if it's a dwarf or if it's a full size. But at what point, I mean, it's probably 4, maybe 5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And in the pot, it's probably 6. Pretty big pot. Mm-hmm. What is the way to care for that best? Do I need to... Yeah, I mean, is there something, because I don't quite know if it's like a dwarf size one, but it looks just like the tall one.
It is probably limited by the size of its root ball, which is in a container as opposed to in the ground. So
how big
it will be smaller.
Yeah, and so that's where I was going. How big will the roots spread out on a palm tree, given that the fronds and all don't really expand like an oak tree?
No, it's hard to say, really. I know that when we plant, for example, if we plant tall palms down the boulevard in Gulfport, all right, or in Florida, or somewhere that it's, we understand, is a semi-tropical environment, we're still going to put them 15, 20 feet away, not just because of the top,
right.
Because the bottom is where they need to be, to have all that space. And they are not, particularly in sandy soils where they're usually native, there's not as much reaching out as there is reaching deep, because they're trying to find the water that is there sometimes, you know.
I have had numerous people say, oh, I have this 8-foot palm that needs to go. Do you want it? And I'm like, if you want it, you can come dig it up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, have you ever tried to dig a palm?
Yes.
You gotta dig to China.
You do. They, you know, literally, but close to it, grows, the roots go straight down.
Is it too late to plant a pomegranate tree? Absolutely. Today is a perfect day. It is not too late. We haven't gotten to fruit trees, but we've been concerned about fruit trees and pruning, and we will get around to that, just that discussion, just because so many people are trying to get started in fruit tree growing. I love that.
Yes.
And it's they're beautiful trees. Why not get some that do double duty and actually give you something to eat, you know?
Right.
It's a good use of space, I think. So pomegranates, I'm going to tell you though, plant two. Pomegranates are self-fruitful, but you will always have more fruit if you plant two.
Yeah.
That's just the way they work. Oh, look how beautiful. The bees in the flower. That's really gorgeous. And the ways to get... Oh, tell me how to get your newsletter. Thank you very much for asking. It comes out every Friday into your mailbox. I'm going to say by 1 o'clock. It goes out earlier than that, but if something happens, I'm still going to manage to get it out by 1 p.m. So it's a Friday delivery, and it is, frankly, tips, ideas, pictures, my thoughts about stuff, what's going on, and I really appreciate you being interested. It is $60 for a year. I told you through the end of January, if you send me 100, you can get your subscription and somebody else's as a gift. We got several of those, thank goodness, because I was really happy to see some new names, people I didn't happen to already know. That's fun.
Right.
After 5 years, you know, it's a fairly friendly list. I know everybody. So the way to get the newsletter is to send me $60. You can do that in a check. You can do that on Zelle. You can do that on PayPal, and it's all mamaonair@yahoo.com. So write down mamaonair@yahoo.com and send me an email, and I'll tell you again, because hardly anybody remembers.
And tell them my favorite part of the new newsletter.
Yes.
This is just amazing.
Yes.
The video.
Oh, the video.
Yes.
Yeah, we've put Lance. Lance made me do more work, so I make him do more work.
Gosh. It's, you know.
I like it, though. It's
I do, too.
Added element.
Just imagine if, you know.
What we realized after the 4 years was that there's nobody reading, so it's much more pictures than visual. You'll have to tell me who's on the phone because I can't see it.
Well, we have Ed in Oxford. He has a question about pruning apple trees.
Okay.
And hey, he is Ed. On now.
What's going on, Ed?
Hi.
How are your apples
doing? I've got, doing good. I've got,
I can't hear
about 14 trees, but I've got two of them.
Well, I'll tell you how to prune apples.
All of them,
how about
different
that?
Varieties.
When you've got apple trees, the thing you need to remember about them is that apple trees fruit on their spurs. That sounds like crazy, doesn't it? Chickens have spurs. Apples don't have spurs. Well, the trees do. They have a strong branch. You always are going to prune to get that canopy strong and get those strongest branches going mostly upright. You don't really want them to wave down too much. But along those branches, there will be sidebars, and they'll come out and form a T with the main branch. Each of those needs to be cut back a little bit so that you can get the flowers to occur right there. That's the hardest part about pruning an apple.
I think we had something going on with line one, so I flipped him over to line two. Can you hear Ed now?
Hey, Ed. There he is.
I've got two trees that have still got leaves on them at this point,
mm-hmm.
although we've had, you know, 20 or more days of below freezing weather.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And normally I'd prune them in January, February,
mm-hmm.
but I worry about planting the two that have still got green leaves on them.
Well, because we've had such up and down and up and down on that, I was speaking about elephant ears earlier and saying that some of them have already got a new leaf on them that shouldn't be there, in quote unquote, but the plant doesn't know that. And the apple is the same way. If these are just the leaves that have not yet dropped off, I'm not going to worry about them because they're probably going to fall off this coming week. And if they don't, you can still prune the tree after that. Sometimes sometimes we have a problem. If you find that they're not falling off on their own and they're turning brown and holding onto the tree, that's a different story. But just a few leaves that don't fall off, that's not a problem.
Okay. Yeah, they're still green, but all of the others have lost their leaves.
I understand. It's variable all around. I've seen some pictures this week of Bradford pear trees that are still red with beauty on one side, and the other side has already dropped every leaf on it. So I think this is going to be the week that turns the tail. Thanks for calling today. I appreciate hearing from you, Ed. That's great. Paula says, Happy New Year.
A happy new year, Paula.
And glad to hear from her. Good morning. Carrying on. There are so many fruits that we can grow. What's another fruit tree? Okay, what's another fruit tree? Well, another fruit tree that we can grow, obviously figs is easy. That one's kind of plant that behind the garage and worry about it only a little bit. If you have more time to spend, you might want to get into plums and pears or even apples. And beyond that, we're talking muscadines. That's more work. You know, we can go up to peaches. That's going to take a full-time spray program.
There you go.
is there a reason why Hawk devoured the fig tree but not the sweet olive tree?
I can't begin to tell you, except that he has a preference.
Yeah, I mean, did it taste better or something?
It may have been. I will tell you this, the wood would certainly have been chewier.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he chewed it up like it was a toy. You know, now he hadn't tried on anything else, but he worked that thing down to
the fig has enough of a it's just a good thing you don't have Confederate roses. He'd have eaten those to the ground because they're just pulpy, you know, inside the stem.
He loves wisteria limbs, I can tell you that. I was like, please help me with those.
Well, that is, good. Yeah.
We're going to get that dog a saddle and let him pull the lawnmower.
You get one of the old school ones that you just, you know, it's like the rotary thing.
Exactly.
You just push, just hook it to him and
go.
But yeah, thank you for that. I'm always curious why he chose that one.
I'm one of those people with broken tools. I have lots of those, and sometimes some of them become art. Some of them just sit around.
I love your art.
I have a broken rotary mower like that. That's one of my favorite old things.
There was kind of a resurgence in those, you know, people
there certainly was.
Urban yards.
There certainly was.
You can mow at midnight with those. I mean, nobody's going to hear anything.
I mow at midnight anyway.
I'm sure you got an electric one.
It has a light on it.
He has the headlight on him and the headlight on the, I know.
The mower has a light and you can actually, I've mulched leaves now, at 7 o'clock at night.
If we could just get, there is such a thing as the lawn mowing equivalent of a Roomba.
I've seen it on the spillway.
So yes.
We need to get those a little bit more in my price range, shall we say.
Yeah, just let it do its thing. You know, if we're talking about the creature comforts of, say, AI and technology, that would be where I'm going with it. You know, I don't really care about getting to Mars or Jupiter. I care about, you know, the yard.
I want it to go by, cut the grass, and pull the weeds out of the flower bed when it goes by, you know.
That might be a little bit more than it's capable of yet, but if we can get an AI hooked up to it.
Like a silicone arm that comes out and pulls weeds.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how we'll do it, but somebody's working on it right now.
Probably
the Max Planck Institute or some of those.
The Max Planck Institute, one of our very, very favorites. And they don't slow down just because of holidays, you know. There's always things going on from our friends there. This particular week, indeed, I did not know that bats surf. But the Max Planck Institute of Animal Behavior is letting us know that they do. But what they do is they actually surf. They travel thousands of kilometers in continental migrations across North America, Europe, and Asia. It's rare. We don't get to see it. So, of course, what have we done? We've put more little devices on them so we can follow them. And ultra-lightweight intelligent sensors have told us, strangely enough, they have a great strategy. They surf the warm fronts. So in other words, when the jet stream is headed up to England, it's full of bats. When the jet stream is headed over here, that's when we get our fruit bats, because they're actually traveling. That's how they migrate. I did not know that. I knew they migrated, but I didn't understand the mechanisms of it. I love that. But the Max Planck folks are always going to tell us something good.
And, you know, speaking of bats, you know, in Mississippi, not everywhere, but we had those beautiful fireworks over the city of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, guano,
Well, and it's important.
It's important.
It's good to know. How do you get rid of purple wisteria? Speaking of that, you can bring Hawk over and he'll eat it.
You move.
Or you move. It got out of the container and has gone crazy. I've sprayed several things. Yeah, you can keep spraying because it's not going
to
help.
When we say purple wisteria, are we referring to the flower that comes?
Part.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
ours
mm-hmm.
is purple. Mm-hmm. So
there is a similar wisteria to that one that also has a white flower, but it's not nearly as aggressive. Mm-hmm. And we also have American wisteria, which is not nearly as aggressive as either one of them, but it's not as pretty either, so no, we don't grow it as much. I'm sorry.
It's not.
Okay.
The flowers on the purple are beautiful.
Here's
though.
My wisteria story.
Aggressive.
My neighbor, we each have very deep lawns, deep yards behind our houses. And my neighbor cut down a cedar tree years ago. Well, about a minute and a half later, his wisteria that had been on the other side of the wisteria on a trellis began coming up in my yard from the ground level because of all the extra sunshine. So that began I saved some of it. I trained up pieces of it. It was just everywhere. But it definitely led to a couple of years of wisteria and, in that particular case, bamboo control, because the sun also encouraged his bamboo to move into my yard, where it was not quite as – my yard was not quite as barren and dry and as his was and sunny at that point. So what I have done is to keep the – patrol under, get yourself a good pair of boots, and as soon as you see the wisteria, step on it the same way you do the bamboo shoots. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. Step on it. And if you have to use something else, spray the brand new growth that has come up or paint it with an herbicide. Because that's what you can have that vine for days and days. It's not nothing going to happen. Cut it off, stomp it off, let the brand new growth come up, and then treat that. It will be much more responsive.
Is there already music?
Yes, there is.
I can't believe it.
It's you're not just hearing things.
Which is not all.
Pool is calling you,
it's
buddy.
Not all that unusual.
We've got to float. We need a flamingo and a float. That's all there is to it.
Absolutely.
Hey, y'all, now, we're about to lose our dear friend Mark Peaches Patrick. You know you can get in touch with him all over the place, but particularly if you get in touch with mamaonair@yahoo.com, he'll get in touch with you, too.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you.
If you are building a new home or remodeling an older home, Amazing Propane is for you. A propane tankless water heater, a propane generator, a propane gas grill and oven, propane fireplaces, and even lighting. Propane, such a versatile, clean, cost-effective source of energy for any home. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. But what if the online information about your business is incorrect, or even worse, not very flattering? If your online presence isn't great, you may be losing customers. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's trusted and highly trained team is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
We've sent that rip.
I have so many things to tell you. I've got this a great question. This is one of those, do we set fire to it or do we mow it down? Jackie and Brandon has a very overgrown muscadine vine. Can I prune it completely back to the stump knowing we won't have any fruit this year? Trees and everything growing up through it, and will it recover from that drastic cutting? Oh, yes. Now, if possible, I would take it down, not quite all the way to the stump. I would cut it back, say, so that you've got your main, whatever your main branches are that are going to come off of it that we ordinarily would think about the first ones to train. They're usually about 3 feet up off the ground level. And the stump itself doesn't necessarily branch, but it has doesn't necessarily branch, but it has leaders or canes coming out on each side of it. So I would consider leaving those maybe a foot long each if you possibly can, because that's where the new growth is going to come from, in addition to the bottom of the plant. But we want to encourage that growth that's already going to start, that's already up a little bit, so then you can train it. I know it can be a mess. And yes, it will be okay if you have to cut it back to the stump. But if you can leave some of the main canes that are coming off of it, select maybe three or four for the stump, out of the probably 30 that are growing out of it, you just pick some of the strongest ones, I think you'll have a better result. I have had the most fun talking to someone this week about color in the garden. She said that she had gotten my book, which is The Nonstop Color Garden, which I don't have any copies of, but which you can, in fact, still order, and I'll show it to you now because it is a beautiful book, and I'm very proud of it. But I was tickled that she was asking me about a specific set of questions that I did try to answer there, of why do we use different colors, and who decides, you know, in other words, when we go to the garden center, it may look like all the camellias have pink flowers. What if I want one that's white? Well, you probably can find it, but yes, and many times your garden center will have a selection. There may just not be, there may have been more people that wanted that white one. And why would you want that? Well, because it's a stronger color late in the day, for example. White is one of those important colors for us in terms of walking into the twilight garden or the very early garden. So that's one reason for having the flowers that are very, very light pink or even white. The opposite of this, of that phenomenon, are blue flowers. If you are planting, for example, blue plumbagos, we're not going to be planting them right now, but that's one of the bluest flowers we can think of. Let's think about caria. That's another thing that's real blue. If we're planting that, you're going to plant more of that in an area that you expect to look at in the late part of the day, because it will, those flowers will fade from view quickly, whereas the white ones actually kind of step up. So that's why I like to use white. But it's not the only color, of course, to use, and it's not the only one, only way of thinking about color in your garden design. I often said, you know, you can contrast. You got a red front door, you might put big blue pots there, or you might put big green pots there to make a contrast. Or you might take a deeper shade of the same red and turn that into your complements. So you have the opportunity to work with those colors in many, many ways. I like it in the plants. I like it in the containers in the hardscape. But I got to tell you, the evergreen leaves at this time of year are the thing that make the difference. I encourage you to look around your garden, see what you can find in terms of what's actually looking good in that way. Maybe you need a taller palm. Maybe you need a shorter bunch of shrubs over here that are solid green, just to keep that part of the garden intriguing in the middle of wintertime. Use the color, put it to work for you, and be aware that it can be part of the backdrop in the summer and be a very seriously featured phenomenon right now. It's an important thing. And yes, if you're interested in ordering my book, I know it's available out there on the interwebs, as they say. In fact, when I have ordered one a few times, people are very happy to see it, but there's never enough of them for me to have to sell anymore. I just don't have that capacity.
When we talk about evergreens, and this is a little bit off on a different topic, but driving down the roads and seeing all the dead pine trees at this time of year would have that beautiful green. But remember last year, the heat and the cold and the dry and the rain and the beetles.
Oh, yeah.
Man, there are everywhere. And a lot of those are still dropping you know, from the weather. So I would be careful, folks. I came into work one morning this past week, and there were those pine trees were down all over. And if you go to work early and we have this cold snap coming, and we have any precipitation, I think later in the week, potentially maybe some tomorrow, be careful, because those trees are very brittle right now.
We are looking at a strong line of storms, and that's why the branch fell out of the tree in the neighbor's yard and hit my car. You know, it's just... These trees have been abused in many cases, and in frankly, they're in my case at least, they don't get watered. they probably got watered maybe early in their life, but they don't, except in very, very, very dry, it has to be dry for more than a month before I'm going to even think about trying to water my trees, because they're already huge trees. I can't water that deeply, and the rain takes care of it most of the time. So there's a real balance there of what we can do and what we can't do. And as Lance says, watch out. keep your eye out. And don't sit under the tree that looks dead, because it's probably dead.
Yeah, something will be dropping. It's just, you can sit out in your yard and just hear his limbs dropping all the time.
It's
so
true.
Be careful.
It does happen. The other thing I wanted to bring to you today is tabula rasa. Okay, this is when we talk about resolutions. I'm not much of a resolutioner. I try to make things a little better. I did say last year that I was going to try to drink a cup of tea at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I've done that a bunch, not 100%, but I have managed to do that.
Oolong, or what is your?
I like oolong. I like green tea. There's a bunch of things I like. There's a blueberry tea that I really like. But it's just a different way of looking at that afternoon break. And part of the point is to give yourself the opportunity to take a break at some point in your day. Helps you restructure for the rest of the day, if nothing else. If you're going to work another 4 or 5 hours, you probably ought to do that. But tabula rasa is that blank slate. That's what we think about at the beginning of the year. I read a piece that, you know, you may want to start all over because you feel like you need to put all that behind you. But remember, all that was behind you, you got through. You made it. You're still a strong person. So you can take that wax tablet, as they used to do. They could wipe them off, you know, and celebrate that charm of a clean slate, but still hold on to your strengths that you have had. It's tabula rasa, and I hope that makes sense to you. I hope that the idea is that we want to think about new things and resolutions and new ideas. But if every year for the last 5 years you have joined a gym in January and it's never gone anywhere, let's find something else. Because guess what? You got through last year without going to whatever that was, and you need to take those strengths and make them part of your future. I am looking at a couple of Gerber daisies in bloom in my yard. They shouldn't be, but they are. And I'm going to pick those and bring them in. I want to encourage you, if you are in the space where we're going to have some really serious cold weather, indeed, zone 8, zone 7, we are going to have some serious cold weather. Even zone 9 is going to be a little cooler than it ordinarily is because of this blast, this polar blast that's coming to us. So give yourself the opportunity to take the flowers, kind of that last bouquet thing, you know, everything that's either blooming or about to, and give yourself a chance to enjoy some of it. There's no reason to let it freeze if you can pick it and bring it in the house. It's really a fun thing. Hey, listen, I've got a question. Oh, that's really cute. That's very sweet, Paula. Thank you. Looks kind of like my grandmother, although she didn't, her hair was higher. It was a style, what can I tell you? I wanted you to know, Lance, that I have a potential job for your dog if you feel like he needs to earn a living.
Oh yeah, he could help.
Cornell University is putting dogs to work. They're training them to sniff out the egg masses that are the home of the future lantern flies. Lantern flies have become a bigger problem than we knew them to be. They've been seen now in more places. They were in one place. Okay, they saw lantern fly. Isn't that pretty? It is. It's very pretty. But unfortunately, the vineyards as well as the forests, as global warming proceeds, is having an opportunity for them to stay there and actually make it through the winter instead of being frozen. So now I want to know how many dogs they went through, but they discovered a Labrador Retriever and a Belgian Malinois were better than humans at detecting the egg masses in the forested areas. I love that. People spotted them a little bit more frequently in vineyards. Who designed this? Why did we have to compare the dog and the people? Well, okay. So, in other words, we don't necessarily want to spend more money training dogs if the people can do it just as well. Turns out the dogs are better than us, at least in the woods. People want to know, you know, there's a new AKC. There's always a new AKC breed. But this year's AKC breed is kind of coming on the, what I think of as the amusing and fun-loving dog of last year, the Lancashire Heeler. I don't know if you know about that one. That's the one that was basically has been been a subject of great breeding since 1981 because of its smile. It's a beautiful dog. And they really do smile at you. But we would not ordinarily have bred dogs for their smile. We're doing that now because we humans like that so much. Now, though, it's the Danish-Swedish farm dog. And I dare you to come up with, you know, Dan Swede. You're going to have to call the dog something. But they're very popular. There are more than 300 of them already that perform in those agility competitions, so you may have seen them. They look slightly, they're slightly larger than Jack Russells and smaller than other terriers, but they're really cute, and their joy in performing is part of this. But they have also performed in circuses over the years. They were the dogs that ran out with the clowns in 19th century circuses. So they had to be easy to get along with and could live on trains and buses and that sort of whatever they were transporting, wagons and whatnot. So now they've received AKC status, and we will see them on the television.
There'll be, you know, I was watching a clip the other day of a German short-haired on the, you know, doing the agility, mm-hmm. going through the tunneling, mm-hmm. doing the slalom and everything. Isn't that so cool? I mean, I've trained dogs my whole life and been around them, but watching one that is so finely tuned and is so
and
just focused in,
have,
they're having such a blast.
Oh,
I mean,
it's just,
I had a little lab once that we had, she was the runt. We kept her, you know, for months just to make sure she was going to be mm-hmm. strong and everything. Mm-hmm. And I had two males kept out of the same litter, and they had the best time with her. And she, I mean, she was a little bitty compared to them, but she had this beautiful habit of smiling.
See?
And it was the prettiest little thing. I mean, she would just, you know, that little tail would start wagging mm-hmm, between her legs, mm-hmm. and then these teeth would just, I mean, it was beautiful. And I've seen a couple labs do that. And I was always wondering, like, what possessed them to think about smiling, you know? I mean,
well, I'm pretty convinced it was the reaction of people.
Yeah, I mean, she would smile all the time, and I've never had one out of the many.
And it is a good compensation if you're the runt of the litter. Yeah. Be a little friendlier.
She got, yeah,
you know?
Special treatment, man. She milked it, buddy.
Be just
it.
A little friendlier. Yeah. Why not? You know, I love that. I think that's really, really smart. This is the time of year that we are talking about. Can I, should I, would I, would it be a good idea to wait to do and all of those things in the garden? I'm really up there with mowing that ryegrass this week if you can. I'm very much up there with covering up what you need to cover up. But you need to remember that 3 nights in the 20s is not going to harm a lot of our plants. For example, the camellia shrubs themselves, the sasanqua trees themselves, even the palmettos, those are all very hardy plants. These are things, your shrubs are not going to take much of a hit. Now, if you've got, for example, if this is the first year that your perennials have come up in the winter, Linton roses and that sort of thing, you might want to cover them up just because they don't have as dense a root system. But we don't want to cover things up unless we're really concerned that we would lose them. We just want to mulch heavier around them, because what we're trying to maintain really is the base of the plant, the crown of the perennial or the trunk of the tree, and the roots underneath. Okay, so don't, you can go as crazy as you want to, but here's the other piece. You have to remember, as soon as the temperatures are out of the 20s and up above 40 during the daytime, you have to take those covers back off. And yes, it's handy to have them and have them be ready for when the weather does give us a problem, because if we don't, if it slows down our growth, we don't get the result as soon as we want in the spring. And that's why so many people do a lot of covering and smothering and... You ever seen anybody with all their old bed sheets outside on top of all their plants?
Yeah, doing it right now. Yeah.
And that's okay. That's all right. Just don't get mad if it gets hot under there, because it will. This is one of those tunes, my friends, that is appropriately named. We use it in radio because it's the end of the segment. And the name of the tune is Time is Tight. We'll be right back.
I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
You know that nowadays more people are cutting the cord, ditching traditional cable and satellite television, and instead just streaming everything. With SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's over-the-top advertising, you can get your business seen on streaming TV. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted team can show you how your ad dollars can go further to reach a more targeted audience. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
If you have unfiled...
I understand that there's somebody on the phone.
We have Ed from Ovette, and he had some questions for you about muscadines.
All right.
And he is ready to, let me put it on the other line. We know that one works. Hold on a second. There we go. All right, we're good to go.
Hey, Ed. Good morning,
Ed. Hey, Mama. How you doing this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Got a cut question for you. I got 7 muscadine plants. My daddy said, son, you only need 2. I got them planted within 40 yards of each other. He tells me to cut them back the end of January. I'm going to start cutting them back this week. We argue left and right. And the second question is, when I bought these things, there's like 7 or 8 vines that come up. And then 10 years later, you look at them, there's 1. What is the metamorphosis that takes place? Explain all that to me.
Oh, okay. Well, muscadines do tend to be very caney, is how I explain it. They do like climbing roses will, and they'll make a whole lot of early growth. I think sometimes just because they're trying to find a tree to hold on to or something to grab, you know, whichever one can make it up to climb is the one that's going to get some fruit. So when they do mature, one of them, or sometimes 2, but usually 1 will beat out the rest of the other branches or the other attempted branches. That's why I was talking about saving that trunk, if you can keep a couple of the ones that are coming off of it about 3 feet off the ground, that's really where you want them to start coming out from, because it's a prolific plant, and you will get more than that at times. That's really all it is. It's a matter of selection. What do you train them to?
I've got them on two pieces of barbed wire. They come up about 2 foot a piece, and I watched them over. My daddies are like 16 years old. I seen them when he planted them. There's like 8 roots coming up, and now all of a sudden it's this one big plant. Mm-hmm. They like metamorphosis into one thing.
Yeah.
And then he showed me, I wasn't making many muscadines. He said, no, son, this is where you cut them at and you prune them. He said, you get all that old growth off. And he was right about that, but we argue about when to cut them back. this thing goes from like 8 roots coming out of the ground to 1. His are like, oh my God, they're 4-6 inches around. What happens, Garden Mama? Does the roots just wrap around each other and they grow together?
Sometimes their cells do, in fact, lean up against each other long enough that they just meld into one. And sometimes some of the structures are not as strong, so they fade away and the other one dominates. Part of that is that whatever the part is that actually forms the trunk obviously put on the strongest of the roots and was able to get deeper into the soil and get to that water that the others couldn't get to. And so sometimes you do have a little bit of melding, but other times you just have one outgrows the rest of them.
Okay, because he said, son, you've got 8 and 40 feet. You need 2. He said, tear the other ones up. He said, why do you have 8? Because he has 2, and they're like 100 yards long, and it comes out of the ground. But when is the best time when is the best time to cut these things back?
Well, I'm going to tell you that both of those choices are pretty good. My concern about when to prune the muscadine is we want to prune it while it's dormant, We want to prune it, in other words, while it has no leaves on it, and we want to make sure that it doesn't have the opportunity to start growing again and then refreeze, because that causes a delay in the crop later. You know, the leaves don't form. You don't get as many grapes later on down the way. So if you feel like it's going to freeze, maybe the difference between right now and the end of January is just how many freezing days you think there will be in there. So I'm not actually going to say you have to wait till the end of January, but I do put muscadines usually in my before the roses in early February, because that's when I want to prune the roses. And before that, I want to get the fruit trees pruned, and I want to get the muscadines and the wisterias and things like trumpet vine, you know, those other big woody things that we're trying to catch in their dormancy.
Okay, because this coming week, we've got like 7 days of 20-degree weather.
Yeah,
so
it's going
like,
to be
I
cold.
I think it's a pretty good time to start going doing that.
Well, and the other thing is that we've had such up-and-down weather that you may want to use that cold to know that it's gone dormant. Because they'll definitely be dormant. If they're not dormant this week, they would definitely be dormant next week. And I think your father's, I'm never going to argue with anybody's daddy. But I will say that somewhere in between, well, that's not true. I argued with mine. But anyway, somewhere in between those two dates is good. And I'm really glad that he was able to show you how to do the pruning, because that's the bigger problem. You know, people will have a muscadine vine. The vine itself will be 20 feet long and no fruit, because you got to go back and do that sidebar, you know, that he showed you.
Okay. Well, do you have time for me to ask you one more question?
Yes, I do.
This has to do with corn in this argument between me and him.
Okay.
Planning on the moon going to full or the moon going off of full, and he showed me the thing with gravity and digging a hole in the dirt and all that stuff. We argue up and down about this. If you plan on the rise of the moon, you're going to have larger stock. Please explain that to me real quick.
Oh, that's a hard one. In that there's a lot of talk around both ends of that conversation. What I'm willing to tell you is that if you dig a hole in the dark of the moon in August, it will not fill back up. Okay, so in other words, when people plant things in August, we often say that's a tough go. You know? And the moon people will tell you that that's why. I don't know that that's why, but they will tell you that that's why. There's an awful lot of smarts in that lore. And I'm in favor, just like I'm in favor, if I don't want my hair to grow, I want to cut it while the moon is waning. If I want it to grow, I need to cut it while it's waxing. And oftentimes you'll hear from people that in terms of their garden, if they're planting leafy greens, they want to plant in the wax of the moon so that they grow faster and they grow bigger. And at the same time, if you're planting trees, you'd usually do that in the waning if you're in following those philosophies. So I think your dad's point of view of planting when the moon's going up is probably towards that higher, towards the greater growth rate that we hear from people that plant by the moon.
All right, because he says one thing, you're going to have bigger stalks, lesser ears. And then we argued, and I said, Daddy, he said, I'm going to shut you down, son. He said, what does the moon do with the tides and the oceans on the earth? I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and shut up, Daddy. You win.
You got it. Now, if he has a grandchild, you could let the grandchild plant corn at two different times for a science experiment and solve this thing for y'all.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Carmel.
Good to hear from you. Thank you for calling. Oh, my goodness. Chris is in Summit watching the bluebirds, checking out their houses in Pike County. Is that a sign of early spring? He says, well, you know, I don't know if it is. It may just be that, you know, they're checking out the rentals because it's going to get cold next week. But we do think of bluebirds looking for nesting boxes a little bit later on. There's so many things about the changing, you know, all of the averages, all of those things change. But even so, week to week, changes, and I think maybe the bluebirds are paying attention to that. I don't know. We have owls at my house, and the babies are just starting to fledge. That's not usually happening in January either, so I don't know. I don't know the answers. I wish I did. Y'all are just terrific. This has been a wonderful program today. I appreciate all of y'all being here. Remember that the show does replay on Sunday afternoon, and you can always hear this show and several more at the on-demand section at supertalk.fm. It is it's a podcast on YouTube. We're everywhere, and you get my best ofs in my newsletter. So you want the newsletter, get in touch. MamaOnAir@yahoo.com. Thank you, Lance. Appreciate you. Y'all have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time.
Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show. Nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Are customers able to find you online? With the power of SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
All of us at the Mississippi Propane Gas Association are committed to providing you with the best possible services and affordable values. We operate in a way that assures a safe, reliable, and economical fuel source. Our trained personnel constantly monitor the conditions of our gas systems to assure reliability and safety. Any repairs or modifications to a propane gas system must be performed by the qualified technicians of your propane provider as required by state and federal regulations.
Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com.
If you have
a SuperTalk Mississippi Media Production.